Sometimes it's best to hear the passage of Scripture all read at once, and then I'll break it down. So, Rick, if you'd read that for me, I appreciate it.
Romans 8:5-14. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God.
Thank you, Rick. I think God got his voice from Rick, don't you? Man, there's all kinds of different ways you can find out God's will. Some are pretty easy. Go to a Chinese restaurant, get a fortune cookie, open it up, and whatever it says, say, fortune cookies, they teach me how to say, oh, this is what I need to preach on. I go to get fortune cookies. God speaks to me. It's like, oh, God, this is how you do it. Yeah. And then I discovered that Dove candy has promises in the wrappers. And so we had this Dove candy at home, and this was from the... I opened this up last night. I said, I'm going to find God's will for my life. And I opened it, and it said, rock a bad hair day. Rock a bad hair day. I did that one, and I said, whatever, I'm not going to show that one to the church. I opened the next one. Next one, blue, the milk chocolate. I opened it up, and this one said, rock a bad hair day. So I went to the dark chocolate. If the Lord is my witness, I would not lie to you. I opened on, but this one was much better. I opened this one, and this one said, rock a bad hair day. Three! All three of them! Mocking me! That couldn't have possibly been the Lord, unless he was saying, why don't you just get over it? You ain't good looking anyway. How do you discover God's will? How many of you, if I was to ask you, ooh, I'm confident that I'm living in God's will, or what's the possibility today you're looking for God's will in a situation that you just really want to know? You're afraid to go down in your direction, and you don't want to go without the Lord, and then is the possibility there, you know what, I'll seek the Lord a little bit, but then eventually, you know, it'll really come down to my will. And you don't really realize that, but you know that that's really what it's going to be. Because you are just so driven by what you want to do. You know, and it kind of can get muddled all up in that. You know, my son got a new old car, and the gas door was all rusted off of the thing. So I went on Amazon. If you don't know it, you go to Amazon just about anything, you know. Amazon, cheap, nice price. But as you try to figure out, is that the one? Because it's going to be shipped to you, and it's yours whether you want it or not. I kind of relented, and I said, shoot, let me call Rick Inman. Rick Inman has worked. How many of you have worked in parts? A lot. And I go to Rick Inman when I don't want to overpay, when I don't want to get the wrong part and have to go this, that, that. So he asks, I give him all the information. Here's what the car is. Here's what color it is. Here's what motor's in it. And he always comes back to this question. Now, I'm prepared for him. Now, he said, always ask, what's the VIN number? You know, the VIN number on it, you know, the vehicle identification number. Because by that, he can tell what year it is. He can tell where it's made. He can tell what's called. He can tell everything by having the VIN number. And then my confidence soars. My confidence soars. I don't have to worry about what's coming on Amazon because I know that Rick, with the right a VIN number, I get the right part. I don't overpay. I get what I want. You know, because sometimes you overpay because you have to buy twice. Because you just really don't know. They don't ask you on Amazon what the VIN number is. So I ask myself the question, how confident are you that you're in God's will? How confident are you? And what's the course that you go through to make sure? Many Christians are not confident in any way, shape, or form. But with a little bit of anxiety, we walk through life and it's just like, gee, I wish I knew. Gee, I wish I knew. Today, as we take a look in the Scriptures, Romans 8 chapter was just read, you will find an indirect way to get to the place where you will know God's will. As sure as calling Rick, giving him the VIN number, and knowing he's ordering the right part. But here's the thing. Just as he needs a VIN number, you need something too. Don't you dare sit back and think, oh, if I just walk in the Spirit, it'll all be taken care of. This is a him and us situation. All throughout it, if you'd listen. All right? If you listen, you see this. So I want to take a look in your notes. Turn to Romans 8. Hopefully you're there. Verse 5. Here's the Holy Spirit plus me plus you equals God's will. The first word I'd like you to write in there is the word live. Live. Or live. My bad. Live. Those who, look at verse 5, live, underline it in your Bible. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. Now, what I did with all five of these words, I took a word out from this section here. I found the original definition in the Greek, and I put it down there to help us see and understand exactly what's saying. And for the word live, it's to regulate one's life. It's how you regulate, how you live it, how we walk. You know how the Scripture always says, walk in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit. That's how do you regulate your life. So, when I ask myself the question, and I ask you the question, does the flesh regulate your life? Forget the question if you're a Christian or not. Let's just get down to brass tacks. Does the flesh, you'll say, what's the flesh? The flesh has to do with what is prestigious, what is money, what is self-centered. It's what I want. Each and every day where I go and what I do is what God wants. That's what regulates my life. You see, you regulate your life. The truth of the matter is you could be a Christian, but you still have the free will to regulate your life. Does the flesh control it, or are you led in accordance with the Spirit? What's in accordance with the Spirit? It's when I read the Scriptures. It's when I do what the Scripture says. It's when it's, you know, maybe inconvenient for me, but the right thing to do. It's when it seems like it's going to cost me something, and then I remember, oh yeah, it will cost me to follow Christ. It's when it's selfless instead of selfish. And the number one way that we know that is through the Word of God. This is how we live. See, I know people who live their lives and all they think about, their lives are regulated by, I want to be healthy and I want to eat healthy. So they exercise and they eat healthy. My daughter Danielle downstairs is one of them. For many, many years, that wasn't a big thing, but that's a big thing for her now. And you can look at her and you can say, she's a lean fighting machine. You know, good things that she wasn't that lean and mean and fighting when her and Liz was growing up. She'd have pounded Lizzie to death. Or at least kicked her. Do you know I put a kick bag up in her garage? She kicked that thing a couple times and knocked it off the chain. She scares me. I always take my gun when I go over to her house. Anyway, I digress. See, I know people that you can see how they regulate their life. And tell me you can't see the life of a person whose life is regulated by the flesh or is regulated by the Holy Spirit. See, you can see it in their physical appearance. You can see it in their countenance. See, God's will can be known by those who live their lives according to the Spirit. Why would He show you His will if you're living according to the flesh? All right? Number one. It's how we live. Number two, it's the mind. Number two is the mind. Verse 6 and 7. Underline it for me, would you? Then you'll know it when you come back and read it again. The mind governed by the flesh is death. Understand and know this. Listen, forget you're thinking your title of a Christian. Let's just go to brass tacks. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. I put the definition in here for the mind that's governed by the flesh. This is the phraseology for the carnal mind or the worldly mind. And here's the definition. It's the animal nature with cravings which incite to sin. In other words, the carnal nature is pulled towards the selfish side of the flesh, the selfish side of life. It's the thinking of me first. It's the thinking that, you know, I know better than God. It's the thinking that, you know, I need to have this answer by this certain time. So if God doesn't come through, I'll just make it myself. Yikes. You know, how do we ever learn patience if we always go before God? You know, it's the whole side of the animal nature with its cravings, its sights towards sin, you know. I'm sure everybody here understands the situation, you know. I know there's people here that are married and people that are not married. But if your spouse, your husband, your wife, all of a sudden is in a situation where somebody just starts to, I don't know, come on to them a little bit. Flirt with them a little bit. Notice them a little bit. Right then, you have the thought process of knowing in your mind two options. Number one, you can say, you know, I was, I made my vows in front of God. I am a Christian. This is as wrong as it gets because even to lust after somebody is adultery. So you're thinking in your mind, which way will I go? Well, you know what? You know, my husband, he really hasn't been treating me that well anyway. My husband, he's kind of been a jerk about the whole thing, you know, and I haven't gotten a whole lot of this. Now, this kind of feels good. This kind of feels good. Kind of just play it up a little bit. And, you know, sometimes you just never know where that ends up. But the other side of it is, a Christian who can deny themselves and isn't having to gratify the lust of the flesh and wants to walk in the Spirit. And right away, they walk with the Spirit. It's just like, I'm getting out of this situation. You know, one of the best ways to get out of the situation is start talking about your spouse. Yeah. And my wife is beautiful. By the way, I got a picture of her here on my cell phone. Hey, it works, man. And then they say, she's beautiful. What's she doing with you? I said, you know, there's two ways you can go. The way of the flesh during temptation or knowing what's right and being strong, having walked in the Spirit, say, and just being at peace saying, man, it's great to have victory over that, that you don't have to have that. You don't have to be tantalized by any of that. The mind that is set, that is governed by the Spirit, submits to God's laws. You know, it's interesting. Most conservatives that I know, we want people to govern this our country by the laws. If you're an illegal alien, that means illegal. We want guys that are on the justice, and we want guys on the justice that are constitutionalists, not somebody who'll interpret their way. Oh, we want everything led by the law. And this scripture right here says, hey, do you love God's law? I hope you do. I hope you read the Bible and just love it. David said, I delight in your law. God's will is discovered by the mind of those who are controlled by the Spirit, whose lives live their lives according to the Spirit. Doesn't that make sense? Sometimes the thing that we want, we get in an indirect way. Number three, look at the word realm. Realm, verses 8 and 9. Those who are in the realm, go ahead and underline that in your Bible. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. This is something that, you know, maybe this message isn't about finding the will for you or for me. Maybe it's about, let me meditate on this for a week. Let me make sure I get into this place because I need to be walking in the Spirit. That's what we're talking about in 1 John on Wednesday nights here and Thursday nights at Lifeline. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. You have to be able to identify that. Can you identify that the Spirit of God lives in you? This word realm is a fixed position. It means in place or in time or a certain state of being. It's a fixed position. So I ask myself the question, Evan, which realm do you live in? Do you live in the realm of the flesh? Making sure that you get what you want? and manipulate things in life and spend your money where you want and do what you want. Is that the realm that you're in, or are you fixed state in the Spirit? Because it says that the two can't come together. One can't please God. One is walking and pleasing the Lord. Somebody said, you know, this is kind of like an aura. It's kind of like when you see a friend. You can see this on people. When you see a friend and they're coming down the... As you guys head back to have some fellowship and some coffee and stuff, and somebody's been looking for a job and praying for it or whatever it might be, and you kind of look at them and their countenance is kind of down. You think, oh, man, doesn't look like they got the job. But if they're coming and they're smiling and they're kind of walking tall, which is hard for me to do, but if they're walking straight up, you know, and they're walking, you're thinking, I'll bet you they got the job. Or if you know somebody that's gone to the doctor and you haven't heard from them, but you see and you say, what did the doctor say? Sometimes before they open their mouth, you can see the realm. You understand the word, the realm that they're living in? This is the realm of the Spirit. The person whose countenance is controlled by the flesh is selfish, is self-seeking. They are easily angered. And when you try to talk to them about it, they throw a hissy fit. Though the person whose realm is controlled by the Holy Spirit, they live their life selfless. They live like Christ. And it's really hard to hurt their feelings. Really hard to hurt their feelings. See, when we're in the realm of the Spirit, God moves us into the realm of His will. Number 4, verses 10 through 11. This is the word life as you see it here in this context. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, let me pause here. You understand what he's saying? He's saying there, you know, you live in a fallen world, and though the inside of you, the Spirit of God has brought life to you, your body's going to decay, your body's going to die. Okay? The Spirit gives life, the word life right here, and it gives life because of righteousness. Because of the righteousness of Christ, and because I live righteous. Don't expect that you have eternal life if you won't live righteous. Don't listen to somebody who says, once you're saved, you're always saved, you can live like the devil. Man, that's crazy. Verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. This word life here is, in your notes there, a life that is active and vigorous, devoted to God and blessed. A life that is active and vigorous. This is the life that they live. Why? Look at the word righteousness. Righteousness means they do what's right in the situation. Do what's right according to what God has taught us. That's righteousness. See, eternal life is given because we live a life of righteousness. But the Bible clearly teaches that Christians have a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Bible says, if any man or woman is in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. If you've come to Christ and nothing's changed about you, I wonder if you had a religious experience and the Spirit of God isn't living with you. Or maybe you squashed it. But it's time to kind of relight the fire. You ever seen a person that was on trial, awaiting the jury's verdict? They're sitting there, they're waiting the jury's verdict. Maybe it comes that time, maybe it's an hour, maybe it's a couple days. But when the jury comes out and the jury says, not guilty. Oh, they have a different countenance. They have a new life. Because that life, if they'd have been guilty, had been gone. And you and I can live a guilt-free life because of Jesus and because I choose to. Because I'm going to show you here in a minute. Us living without guilt and without sin is on Jesus and it's on us. Just like when Rick Inman said, listen, I can help you, but you got to have the VIN number. Go find the VIN number. There was an obligation I had, and you'll see so do we. So our bodies are subject to decay because of sin, but the Spirit gives life to your spiritual life. And as long as you got spiritual life, wouldn't it be great to know that you could know God's will? Who else would He give His will to except somebody who has eternal life? They're living that new life. And one last one, number 5, is the word death. Verses 12 through 14. Death. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. Alright? We're living this life. There's an obligation. Something for you to do. Get the VIN number. Call it in. Read it off. Take it up there. Rick will even read it himself. He's going to pass out business cards after service today. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. After he's talked about the flesh, after he's talked about the spirit, two different ways we can live. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death, underline it, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, sins, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And this is the thing, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, makes you a child of God. The Bible holds the standard high, because you can do it. Don't let Satan muddy up your mind right now. Don't let him muddy it up. Don't be going according to way. Let him lift you up. Let the Spirit of God lift you up. You see, what do I got to do? I got to be liberated from the bond of anything. That's what the word death is. Literally to be made dead in relation to something. You guys ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? You know? So very often, tradition. Finally, he couldn't take it no more. One of his daughters, he's just like, "You're dead to me. You're dead to me." That's what the word means, to put something to death. I know some people at Lifeline and Lifehouse Church, they are dead to sugar. I do. I know some people who in this wanting to get healthy and wanting to lose weight and different things, they are alive and healthy in life, and they are dead to sugar. They haven't had sugar in I don't know how long. I know one lady, I think she's lost 80 or 90 pounds. She looks good. She's dead to sugar. My wife said, if I have to die to sugar, I'd die myself. Maybe that's how you are. But these men and women don't, and there's other things in there, but I just look at the sugar part of it, and there's other things there that help them succeed. You know what the number one thing that helps them succeed is? Others doing the same thing. And that's how an alcoholic gets off alcoholic, a heroin addict, a cocaine addict, anything that we do. The Bible teaches us, get some help, get some people around you. Get some other people that are doing the same thing. Get ideas from them how they did it. And because there'll be other people around there. And they'll help you. Because they have an obligation to do that. Now you and I have an obligation to put to death the misdeeds of the body. And we don't have to do it alone. But if I won't spend any time alone with the God that can help me in my temptation, or the God that can help me, guide and direct me, or go down any one of the five here. If I'm not spending time with Him, I can't hear from Him. I can't get filled up. You ever try to get your car filled up at the gas station by stopping like 30 seconds? Okay, ready to go. I barely got the credit card in the thing. That's how we come to prayer. But if you stop, if you take your time to fill it up, and then do the one thing they don't want you to do, keep topping it off. Just keep topping it off. Like, oh, you're killing the ozone layer. Good. I'm just killing that ozone layer. My wife told me the other day, she said, I could get another gallon than doing that. Like, wow. You got to get topped off, everybody. We don't do it by ourselves, but we still have to do our part. Put to death the misdeeds of the body. Because the only thing that is going to keep God from giving you His will for what you need is me living in the flesh and saying, I just like the misdeeds so much, I'm not doing away with them. Which, in my opinion, kind of puts me or you in a scary place. So in your notes I have, oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. But then I say, but do you want to? As a pastor, pastoring for 20, I don't know how many years, you always find people that, they want to know God's will. You start talking to them, and it's just like, I talk to a guy almost every week, and I try to encourage him to come to church, and he thinks he has good excuses not to come to church, you know. Yesterday, I was at his house, I shook his hand, and I said, I'll see you in church. And he's like, no. I said, well, you shook on it, and I put it in reverse, started pulling him down the drive, you know. I've tried every other kind thing. I figure if I drag him behind my car for a little bit of time, I tried it, but. He panicked, but he wasn't in church today. You know, being dragged behind my car will not be as bad as being tormented for eternity. forever and ever. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is that reality? Yeah, sometimes my tactics are a little different because I have visions of hell. Don't you ever see it? Don't you ever see it? Where somebody will be pained? If you want to experience it, put your thumb on a piece of wood and have somebody hit it with a hammer. Because the Bible says there'll be weeping, emotional, and gnashing of teeth. I got a boo-boo on my thumb. I have a wrench slip. I got a boo-boo on my thumb. I grit my teeth. But pain teaches us what is coming. If you don't want to know, okay. Because you have to walk in the Spirit. But if you do want to know God's will, if you want to live God's will, then live by what the Holy Spirit teaches us. Then He will guide you. Jesus said He'll be your advocate. He said, here comes the Counselor. The Counselor's coming. He can counsel you in the way to go. And you can be right with God and right in the middle of His will. Let me read in your notes what you got there. Verse 15, the Spirit you received does not make you a slave so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. So if you have this kind of like uneasy fearfulness, it's time to get right with Jesus. It's time to get that pushed out. It's time to walk in the Spirit, because the ultimate thing is He didn't give you this to give you fear. He gave this so you know, hey, you're my kid. You're a child of God. Come on. We're together on this. The Spirit, verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, which means I have an inheritance coming. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. You know that one of the things about that song, Thy Will Be Done, is the words of that are like, man, I find my place here. Is it possible that this could be according to Your will? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, suffering can be a part of His will. Because we've just taken a look at Romans 8, the way that we live our lives, if it's according to the Spirit, you can know His will. If your mind is governed by the Spirit, it will be guided and directed. If you live in the realm of the Spirit, and if you have the eternal life because you live your life right and righteous, and you put to death the misdeeds of the body, what would keep God from telling you, guiding you, directing you into His will for your life? See the asterisk in your notes? I got this from a friend of mine. I just thought I'd say it like this. As we've taken a look at this, the question is are you picking up what God is laying down? That's some Guido friend of mine. Hey, you picking up what I'm laying down? I just ask you the question. Do you understand today that in order to know God's will, you have to live by the Spirit? Everything that is taught in Romans 8 will guide and direct you. You ever notice sometimes the way you get something isn't going straight after it? It's an indirect route. How many here are walleye fishermen? You know that if you're a walleye fisherman, the way that they do it now is you don't put your boat in the water and just fish right behind you or below you, because walleye have these eyes that look straight sideways. And their eyes are very luminous. They can see very clearly. You know. So what you want to do with a walleye is boats don't fish directly behind. They fish indirectly off to the sides. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet. They have these riggers that come down in these planer boards. The planer boards walk it away from the boat and away from the boat. So that the walleye, because the boat goes over the walleye, they scatter. They're gone. You try to get them directly, they're gone. But way out there, where there's no noise from the boat, no engine noise, nothing from the boat hitting the waves, where it's quietly and a lure comes by and a walleye sees it. Snap. That's how they catch a walleye. Indirectly. And if you today want to know God's will, it's indirectly through walking with the Lord, through making sure your heart and your mind and the realm of where you're at and you're putting to death, because that is how you find God's will. Candy's going to come up and we're going to close with the song, Thy Will Be Done. In Romans 12, it says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Don't conform to the pattern of the world. That's the same as not walking in the flesh, right? It's just, I'm just going to have Candy come. You having everybody come?
Okay.
I'm going to have just Candy come, if you guys don't mind today. Thank you so much. So I wanted to be a little bit quieter because I'm going to open the altar today for you. If you're sitting here thinking, this is exactly what I need to know your will, Lord, but help me find it indirectly, directly through your Spirit today. In Romans 12, it says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Thy will be done. The altar is a place where God meets people. Do you want to come lay something down? Or do you want to come for somebody else that you know for their will? Is it possible that you want to come and say, Lord, never thought about it in this way. I don't really know what your will is for my life or a job or whatever it might be. But will you guide and direct me today? Will you guide and direct me today? Thy will be done. Bow your heads with me. Prepare our hearts. Christians can know God's will. Too often we have a lack of confidence. But without the Spirit, we cannot. As the altar is open, as Candy sings, will you let the Spirit of God guide you and direct you? You come to the altar, you just meet with Jesus.